Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa School of Social Work, offering the opportunity to earn a master's degree from anywhere in Iowa, including an all-online MSW program. Information at socialwork.uiowa.edu.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. As students go back to school this fall, there is a lot of uncertainty. Later this hour, I'll talk with Kitty Westenauer, a retired Des Moines educator. She'll share her concerns about making sure all students have access to education in this moment and some words of wisdom for parents and students. But first, Iowa was the first state in the country to restart high school athletics with baseball and softball early in the summer. Now the fall sports season is upon us for both high school and college athletes. COVID-19 has complicated the playing field for all athletes and all sports. In about 15 minutes, we'll talk about college sports, but we are going to start with high school. And Jeff Linder, sports reporter for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, is here with me now. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And I want to start with a look back. Of course, there was so much uncertainty at the beginning of the summer when baseball and softball came back. What do you think we learned from the summer season?
Well, I think we learned that with a lot of hiccups and a lot of road bumps that it can work. Now, can it work with contact sports like football or indoor sports like volleyball? That remains to be seen, and we'll find that out next. But I would say that the summer sports were very successful. I think about 95% of the schools made it through the end of the season without without having to stop early because of positive tests. But what happens next remains to be seen.
Well, and schools took different approaches to openness about positive tests, et cetera, this summer. And I suspect we're going to see that it's going to vary pretty widely from school to school how open they're going to be about what they're seeing with COVID.
Yeah, and I think there just needs to be some consistency from county to county, from school to school on how they handle the protocol and everything. I think we need a uniform protocol statewide to keep the playing field level.
So let's talk about fall sports, because softball and baseball, one of the big arguments for bringing them back was that there's not that much contact, that social distancing is something that is possible with those sports.
Right.
And
right.
Fall sports, we've got different kinds of sports and different kinds of contact. Let's start with cross country, because I think a lot of people feel like cross country has the best shot at working. What are you seeing with the cross country season?
Yeah, I think so. I spoke with a coach from Lynn Marsh. He's got the Emily Burmeister has the top ranked girls team in the state with Lynn Marsh. And what they're doing, they're practicing, they're wearing masks during their warm up and their cool down. During the heat of the workout, the main workout, they're taking the masks off for that. They're going to be running at Invitational at Cedar Rapids Prairie on Saturday. It sounds like they're going to be wearing masks up to the starting line, take them off for the race, and then put them back on basically right at the finish line. And then they're going to get out of there and go home. And I think you're going to see similar procedures by most teams.
Well, I think that again will vary from team to team, because not all schools are requiring masks or face coverings within the school. Do you think it'll probably be pretty consistent with the school policies?
I think it's going to come down to what the host school wants them to do. If the host school says you're going to wear masks, then they're going to wear masks, or they're not going to participate. So I think it's going to be up to the school that's hosting the meet. And as far as practices, I think that's just going to be up. That's going to vary a lot from school to school.
Are all the schools participating? Have you seen school districts say, you know what, we're not going to deal with that this year?
I've not seen any for cross country. I've not seen any for any sport, to be honest. I think everybody's going to go ahead. Some schools are going to be under quarantine from time to time. We've got some of those right now. I think as long as they are going face-to-face in school, not virtually, I think they're going to go ahead.
Well, and that's interesting. I just got news that Iowa City School District has been granted permission to begin the year in an off-site learning model. Mm-hmm. I know that Des Moines is also petitioning to be allowed to do that. And sports have already started in those right. districts as well. So we'll also see sports happening, but not in-person learning.
Yeah, and I've got to do some digging. Clear Creek Amana said that they're going to go virtual as well. So what that how that affects their sports programs, that's my next project to find that out here this morning.
Well, let's talk about volleyball. Of course, that happens indoors, and this will be our first mm-hmm. indoor sport that we've seen high school students participate in since the beginning of the pandemic. What are you seeing with volleyball?
Again, a lot of variants. I'm going to go cover a quad up at Independence tonight with four schools up along the Highway 20 corridor, Independence, Western Dubuque, West Delaware, Dyersville, Beckman, and we'll see what they do. I saw that, I believe it was West Des Moines Dowling, they all wore masks during their match. I think a lot of schools are going to have a deal where the kids on the bench wear masks. The six kids that are on the floor probably will not. But again, that's it's going to vary from school to school.
We have seen over the summer, and again, schools aren't reporting their COVID numbers. I know, anecdotally speaking, that some volleyball teams have been quarantined for a couple of weeks yeah. at a time because of summer practices. Are you right. hearing more about that with volleyball than, let's say, cross country?
So far, yes. I just yesterday I spoke with a coach up at Starmont, the volleyball coach. They had an incident and they had been under quarantine. I think their quarantine ends tomorrow, and they're going to participate in a tournament Saturday at, I believe, at Independence.
Now let's talk football. Of course, you know, we're going to be talking college sports in just a moment. We know that the Big Ten football is canceled. Missouri Valley Conference has postponed all of their fall sports to the spring season in the hopes that things will be different. Then high school football is going forward. People are really nervous about this.
Yeah. And how is that going to work with contact? I know that... The funny thing is, I don't think they're allowing post-game and pre-game handshakes, but they're going to allow each other to tackle each other for 2 hours. So I think one of the protocols is that they're going to play about 4 minutes of game time, stop, take a couple minutes to sanitize the ball, the players, so on and so forth, and then hit it again. So, you know, I think we're going to know a lot more after this week. As far as attendance is concerned, I think some schools are allowing basically everybody to get in. Some bigger schools are saying, you know, each player can have X number of family members, two or three or whatever. They can come, and then we'll have 100 general admission tickets for students or whatever. So I just think we're going to know a lot more in a week or two than we know right now.
A lot of people are really excited that sports are back. Of course, the athletes, a lot of them are very excited.
Yeah.
Although I am also curious, again, anecdotally speaking, I've heard of a lot of high school athletes who may not have been the star athletes at their school saying, it doesn't feel worth it to me this year. Are you hearing about that?
I think that's very minimal. I think it's happening. I think it's happening more at the lower levels, the fresh soft, the JV levels, than it happens at the varsity level. You know, when you get to be a junior, senior, and you're getting some playing time, or you get to be part of the varsity team, I think a lot of them are, you know, just don't want to pass that opportunity up. But I'm sure that there are some instances in which it's happening.
What are you most apprehensive about with the season's beginning?
Teams not being able to finish, teams having to take 2 weeks off and then, you know, get back at it again. You know, obviously I'm concerned for people's health. I'd sure hate for sports to be the reason that people are getting sick. But you know, on the other hand, I'm not sure that we can sit in fear either.
Now, you just published a story. You mentioned the Linmar girls cross country team, ranked number one right now in the state. That was in the Gazette just this morning. So you're obviously pretty excited about them. What do you have your eye on? And let's just go through the sports again. What are you excited about with cross country this season?
I don't know, excitement, just curiosity, curiosity on how it's going to work. Our team's going to do the mass start that they usually do, or are they going to start competitions in waves? You know, maybe each team's number one runner takes off together, and then maybe the next everybody's number two takes off together 30 seconds later, just to kind of do a little bit of distancing, and then just kind of take their times and come up with results, you know, maybe post race instead of knowing, now you know if you finish 20th, I finished in 20th place. Now will they kind of do a staggered start and, you know, kids not really know where they stand until after the results are published.
Right. The results may take a little while. Things will be a little more clear with both volleyball and football. We'll know about the winners and losers right away.
Well, yeah, and I just hope there are winners and losers. I hope this works, and I'm not sure. I came up with an idea that I published in, I think it was in July, saying that maybe flip-flopping the spring and fall seasons might not be a bad idea, because golf and tennis would be good sports that we could do now, and, you know, maybe going in spring with football and volleyball wouldn't be a bad idea, but we're going to go forward with this, and hopefully it works.
How does this change how you report on sports quickly?
Well, I'll be doing my interviews with a mask and a little bit further apart. I'm just so used to shaking a coach's hand or an athlete's hand after an event. And, you know, you can't do that now. Now it's just kind of an eye contact and questions, and then thanks for your time and goodbye. Yeah. So it's different, and hopefully it's just different for a temporary amount of time.
Jeff Linder, thank you so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Jeff Linder, sports reporter for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We're going to talk about college sports in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa School of Social Work, offering the opportunity to earn a master's degree from anywhere in Iowa, including an all-online MSW program. Information at socialwork.uiowa.edu.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. In about 15 minutes, a longtime Iowa educator will share some words of wisdom as the school year begins. But first, we're going to talk about college sports, and there is so much to talk about here. We're going to start with the highest profile sport of all, football. Big Ten football is canceled. The Big 12 is planning to play. The Missouri Valley Conference has postponed fall sports to the spring season. Ben Weiser is here. He is Iowa State athletics reporter with the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And Dargan Southard is also here, sports reporter with the Des Moines Register and Hawk Central. Hello, Dargan.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you both for being here. And we don't need to spend a lot of time talking about the Big Ten's decision to cancel football, because I know, of course, that's been all over the news. But the ramifications of that cancellation are huge. Dargan, put it in perspective just a little bit for us, the fact that Big Ten will not be playing football.
Yeah, you know, everybody kind of talked, you know, going all the way back to March, you know, no matter what kind of athletic personnel you talk to, everybody kind of had the same unanimous conclusion that if football doesn't happen in the fall, then there's going to be some drastic fallouts. And, you know, while Iowa kind of opened the door, so to speak, by being the first Big Ten school to cut sports, which they did four sports last week, men's and women's swimming and diving, men's tennis and men's gymnastics. They're not going to be the only ones. There's going to be similar cuts in the coming weeks, I would assume, you know, looking at the Big Ten and possibly the Pac-12 as well. But, you know, for months it was just talk, but to actually see it happen, see it tangibly come to fruition, as unfortunate as it is still an eye-opening thing, especially when, you know, Iowa has, you know, quite a bit of swimming and diving tradition. You know, they have the brand new aquatic center that was scheduled to host the NCAA championships this spring and has hosted Big Ten championships and the boys high school meet as well. So it's definitely been a jarring week and an unfortunate week for, you know, all those athletes that, you know, suddenly don't have a home and don't really have a lot of clarity as far as how the rest of their athletic careers are going to go. So while it was kind of inevitable once the Big Ten's decision was made, it's still pretty staggering to see the ramifications finally come to fruition as they did in the last week for Iowa.
Well, and it's been common knowledge for a very long time that football and to a lesser degree basketball really carry the rest of the sports programs at any major university, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at you know, not just Iowa, you know, any Power Five school across the board, you know, except for maybe a few exceptions like Duke basketball or Kansas basketball. I mean, it's football not only leading the way, but really carrying the rest of the pack. And that's fine. You know, that's kind of the cost of doing business for having a lot of these sports. I think that's something that, you know, a lot of athletic departments kind of see as the reality of things. But, you know, when the cash cow gets disrupted or gets postponed or, you know, has all of a sudden so much uncertainty around it, you know, things get really tense and really, you know, things materialize quickly in the wrong direction. And that's what you saw. So, you know, it was kind of, I don't want to say the dirty secret, but everybody knows how substantive football plays for a lot of these big schools. But it's really only at this point that it becomes apparent just how much, because you see, if football gets disrupted, then everything is kind of at the mercy of going away. And, you know, I would imagine a lot of the sports at Iowa kind of held their breath as that decision got made. And it's unfortunate for the four that got cut, but not a lot of easy decisions coming for athletic directors and athletic departments all across the country.
Absolutely. Well, let's shift a little bit to Big 12 football. Ben, that is still on, and I have to imagine that seeing what happened at the University of Iowa already, the pressure to play is mounting. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Jamie Pollard, Iowa State's athletic director, said from March or April that if football doesn't happen, sports could be cut. That's a very real possibility at Iowa State. We've seen it happen at Iowa. Nebraska furloughed 51 employees of their athletic department. So, like Dargan said, football is the cash cow, and university athletic departments really rely on it to happen and to bring in quite a bit of money. So the fact that the Big 12 is trying to play is – really, when you boil it all down, is just to try to maintain some sense of normalcy and be able to bring in some money to be able to sustain football, athletic departments, and these other programs as well.
Well, and of course, all through the summer, there were so many conversations about how many people would be allowed to watch. And I feel like, of course, those conversations have kind of disappeared. That seems to be very unimportant in this moment of deciding whether or not to play and how it's going to work. Ben?
Yeah, that is really interesting that you bring that up. I think part of the reason that that conversation is starting to go away is most schools have decided how many people are going to be in attendance. I know Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech are all doing 25% capacity. There's probably a few others. Iowa State has yet to decide what they're going to do. I kind of had expected that decision to come already. I mean, we're just over 2 weeks away from kickoff, so that decision has to be coming soon. But the latest that we've heard about that is Jamie Pollard and Iowa State Athletics are considering three options, and those three options are 50% capacity, which is what they originally had planned for, 25% capacity, where they sold half of their season tickets. So half of the people that they sold to would get three games. The other half would get the other three games because they have six home games. So that'd be the 25% capacity model. And then the last option they're considering is just no fans. If they don't find a way or see a way where they can make it reasonably safe, then they'd go the no fans option, and they would have to, you know, obviously refund the ticket money and or ask for that donation, which I'm assuming they would ask for the donation.
And I mentioned the Missouri Valley Conference has pushed off all of their fall sports to the spring season, although that probably means no cross-country season, for example, because a lot of those athletes are also involved in track and field. A lot of the coaches also coach in track and field in the spring as well. Dargan, with the Big Ten, what about the other fall sports? What's happening with them?
Yeah, so right now, you know, all the fall sports are moved to the spring. So that's soccer, bleed cross country, and then football as well, volleyball as well, too. So and then you looked at, you know, the swimming and diving seasons technically start in October and run through into the spring. So I would imagine the fall portions of those schedules won't be happening either. You know, as far as where I was at and where everything stands, I mean, really all the eggs are on the spring and the optimism has to be put there because, you know, the Big Ten made its move and has been pretty clear despite, you know, pushback from a lot of different areas that that decision is final and is not going to be changed. And I would expect that to be the case. So, you know, I think the main concern starts with how do you get football off the ground in some ways. There's talk about starting in January with neutral site domes around the Midwest because I find it funny that anybody even suggests that it would be possible to play football in Kinnick Stadium in January and February because at any point there could be 2 feet of snow on the ground.
Right.
So I think obviously for obvious reasons the football is the main focus, but yeah, certainly all of those sports are trying to find some clarity on how the spring is going to go. And, you know, a best case scenario is, you know, it's going to be a jam packed spring. You could have basketball, you could have football, you could have all the other fall sports going all at the same time. So, while I understand the decision to push to the spring, you know, there's an argument to be made there. The next few months are going to be crucial as these, sports and the Big Ten try to develop, you know, what exactly the spring is going to look like because, you know, their decision, they bought themselves some time, but now they have to figure out what that's going to look like. And as of right now, there's still a lot of uncertainty on how that plan is actually going to go.
Well, I want to...
If I can add to this...
Yeah, go on, Ben.
Sorry, if I could add to this, the Big Ten and Pac-12's decision to move all the sports to the spring has greatly impacted what the Big 12 was planning on doing. Because we were on a conference call with Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby a couple weeks ago now, and the Big 12 is still planning on doing volleyball, soccer, all those fall sports in the fall. And we actually got to a point where in the NCAA, you need at least 50% of the participating programs in order to hold an NCAA championship. And right now, we're below that 50% threshold. So Iowa State Volleyball, which is going to compete this year in the Big 12, there is no NCAA championship for them to compete in the postseason because all of the sports got moved to the spring. So I'm really interested to see if the Big Ten does play in the spring with volleyball or soccer or sports like that. Are they going to be able to hold an NCAA championship? And would a team like Iowa State, who would probably qualify for the NCAA championship in the first place, would they be able to play in the spring even though they played in the fall? So I'm super curious to see what happens with those, I guess, smaller sports or Olympic or non-revenue sports, just to see how they plan on doing postseason play, because Bob Bowlesby said that it would be incredibly unfortunate if the NCAA tournament got canceled, which it looks like it's going to. But they are planning on holding a Big 12 volleyball tournament, or their preliminary plans are to do that. So, and they've never done that before. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out and if the teams that compete in the fall are able to compete in the spring if they do hold a spring NCAA tournament for those smaller sports.
Well, and of course, the sports programs are what we're focusing on, but the athletes are the people who are really deeply affected by this. And I want to return to the canceling of men's and women's swimming and diving at the University of Iowa. It's a storied program with a deep history and beautiful facilities. I mean, it looked like something that it is something that the university has invested a whole lot of money and time in. They do a lot of of recruiting of athletes and have, you know, nationally ranked athletes here. I mean, Dargan, what happens to the athletes?
That's a good question. You know, I checked this morning, and of the two swimming and diving teams and the men's tennis teams, I think combined those rosters have 60 athletes. And I believe as of this morning, 55 of them are in the transfer portal right now. So that's not surprising after hearing what Gary Barta said on Monday that, you know, he encouraged all of those athletes to enter the transfer portal because in a normal circumstance, if you go into the portal and then you decide to come back, your scholarship can technically be given away in that transitional period. But that's not going to be the case here. So Gary Barta said, hey, you know, explore your options. If you want to come back, everything's guaranteed for you for this year. If you want to move on, we understand. What was interesting was he said that he seemed to think that it wouldn't get to the point where Iowa wouldn't have enough of those athletes to come back to even have a team participate. I'm a little skeptical about that because if I'm an Iowa swimmer or diver or tennis player, I really think I would be looking to move on and looking to figure out what the rest of my athletic career is going to look like, because obviously those athletes had a curveball thrown at them that they probably didn't expect. And it's also interesting because a lot of those athletes are international athletes who, you know, don't necessarily have a sentimental tie to the University of Iowa the way so many in-state athletes do. So it'll be interesting to see how many of those come back. I'm sure some will, but if I had to guess, a lot of them will be moving on and trying to figure out, you know, what's next. And, you know, it goes all the way down. You know, you look at high school seniors that were committed to those programs. They all of a sudden have to find a new route. You know, freshmen that just moved in, all of a sudden they have to, you know, uproot their college plans and figure it out. And then, you know, seniors and juniors who were, you know, staring at, you know, had graduation on the horizon, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe they have to go somewhere else. So while obviously the decision to postpone football, you know, had athletes' health and concerns in mind, the fallout is now these athletes have adversity to deal with that, you know, they didn't expect. So it's just an unfortunate situation, and somebody was going to have to pay. And, you know, unfortunately in this case right now, it's the athletes on the four sports that Iowa cut.
Well, and Gary Barta made it very clear that these cuts are non-negotiable. We've seen an outpouring especially from the swimming and diving community, really upset about the loss of this program, but also, you know, from the other programs as well. Ben, I know you're probably not a clairvoyant, but let's look into the future. I mean, NCAA sports are always questioned because, you know, should the focus of universities be on athletics? Maybe universities should just be educating students as opposed to also facilitating their athletic careers. Do you think that this is going to fundamentally shake college sports?
It has an opportunity to. There's no doubt about that. I think we've seen in football, especially guys like Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, the quarterback at Clemson, Justin Fields, the quarterback at Ohio State. They're calling for a players association, or another term for that is a union. They want a union or an association to represent the players' best interests. We've seen paying players gain traction, whether it's name, image, and likeness. Some people want the universities to pay them. So we're seeing, I think, the beginnings of a fundamental shift. And then we're seeing the impact, the financial impact that these football players are really having on universities. I mean, not having football gets four sports cuts and 51 people furloughed at Nebraska. So it just goes to show the value and the worth of the football players, the basketball players to some extent. And I think it's going to be tough for the NCAA to keep arguing amateurism when everyone now sees that, hey, they're worth a lot more than a scholarship and free meals.
You want to add anything to that, Dargan? We've only got about a minute left.
No, I agree completely. You know, I think this is, it's unfortunate that it's taken this situation to, I don't know if expose is the right word, but really bring this issue to light that, that these, you know, football players in particular, whether it's directly or indirectly, you know, fund these athletic departments in a way. And so, you know, they're the ones out on the field. They're the ones, you know, in a sense, risking their bodies and risking their health to do this. So it makes total sense that, you know, they get more than what they currently get. And I think it's definitely got a chance to change things for the long haul, because like everyone, you know, has said, and it's evident, you know, these football programs fund these athletic departments. And when that one gets disrupted, you can see the fallout happens pretty quickly.
Well, Dargan Southard, thank you for being here today.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Dargan Southard, sports reporter with the Des Moines Register and Hawk Central. Ben Weiser, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Ben Weiser, Iowa State athletics reporter with the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Coming up in just a moment, I'll talk with Kitty Weston-Nauer, a longtime educator in Des Moines. She'll share some words of wisdom as we go into a difficult and strange school year. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.